Team 1380 is proud to present the ITD Morning After. Brought to you by the locally owned and operated independent tire dealers.
There's got to be a morning after.
The ITD Morning After. Here's Tim McKernan, Doug Vaughn, and Jimmy the Cat Hayes.
Even though we're due.
Well done, sir.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You are nice. Pretty good.
Thank you.
They said it couldn't be done.
Yeah, that just proved them wrong.
No rehearsal?
No, it was ad-libbed.
Sweet.
It was in pitch.
Yeah.
And it was in key, and it was in pitch.
Everything
if
about
Paula
it just
Abdul
felt right.
were here, she would just say, keeping you, keeping you.
First off, you look lovely today.
That's your niche. You sing about being gay. Keeping you.
Really works. It's the ITD Morning After on Team 1380. This program today is what I call a jubilee. Because today is Producer Joe's 30th birthday. 30th birthday, Producer Joe. 30th birthday, Producer Joe.
Oh,
standing ovation.
Happy birthday, Joe.
A standing ovation. Look at this crowd. It's unbelievable. It's like Tiger Woods. Firestone.
Never thought he'd get to that stage.
He's downplaying it, really.
Well, he's happy. He has a look of a man that's just satisfied. He came back from San Francisco,
right.
And God only knows what went on there.
What do you think he was for the gays?
He told me he had a few hours at the airport. What could be? What could be? All
Doug,
I know is he has
happened?
A look of... I don't know. He probably went to the little newsstand and got a People magazine.
A People magazine? Sweet
a
mother
people,
of mercy.
People. A People magazine, maybe a mocha latte, and just relaxed. Happy birthday.
There was some so doubt whether he'd make it to 30.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people had the under.
Yeah.
A lot of babies are collecting.
Joey, happy birthday.
Thanks, Jim.
You're not happy about this one, are you?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, Joey.
Yeah, birthdays it's really, are birthdays.
It's almost like the first milestone birthday where you start to feel a little bit old.
Nah, I'm all right.
Joey, what could I get for you for your birthday? And you're going to be like, nothing, I don't want anything. But
no,
I would like to do something nice for you.
Oh, it's all good. Don't worry about it. We all have
soccer
birthdays.
Ball keychain?
Yes, that.
Right. What if I brought in a well-hung minority?
No, I'm not.
What?
God. He didn't know. He
That's
didn't mean
the
anything.
Worst thing anyone has ever said on this program.
Doug, he didn't mean anything offensive. You could just see on his face. He didn't know.
We've
anything.
Said a lot of lousy things on this show.
I thought that was something that might be nice.
And it would be, well, Tim.
Thanks. See? Lord. There you go.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, Tim McKernan. What are we going to do? You're incorrigible, Timmy.
What does that mean?
Pick the minority?
Sure. Would you like an Asian gentleman?
Yes. Yes. Ty.
Wow.
You
Ty.
Can't
you want
have
Ty
this
Hill?
Conversation.
You want Ty Hill?
Ty Hill's not an Asian gentleman. I don't think.
No, he's not.
Put him in one of those kabuki robes.
No, he's not Asian.
The great kabuki was a fine wrestler who would spit out green mist.
Oh, I saw that. And sometimes throw salt over the back of his shoulder for good
luck?
No,
that wasn't kabuki.
Who was that?
That was a different guy. That was Ping Lo.
Ping Lo.
Well, Mr. Fuji. Weird guy. Wore a derby and a tux to the side of the ring.
Yeah.
He would get you.
How can a guy who looked like he was 60 and he was only like 5'9", 5'10", how can he beat up these 300-pound roid monsters?
I believe Mr.
What's
Fuji...
What's up with that?
I believe Mr. Fuji currently works at the Home Depot on Kings Highway.
Are you
He's
serious?
He's got one of those one of those smocks that they wear.
I'm going to Wikipedia this because I hadn't heard that.
Yeah.
I hadn't either.
Joe, would you be interested in Mr. Fuji?
I was looking more for someone of Thai descent.
Thai descent.
Huh.
I don't believe I know anyone from Thailand.
Huh.
Not a soul.
Joey, what? if it's all the same to you, I'm just going to stick with the soccer ball keychain.
Thanks, Jim.
All right.
Mr. Fuji's real name is Harry Fujiwara.
Yes, and he works at the Home Depot. Scroll
and he does
down,
indeed work at the Home Depot down. On Kings Highway. Yes, it says that.
Scroll
Somebody
down,
from the scroll. Message board will insert that into his Wikipedia bio by around 7:15. Yep.
Well, welcome back, Joey. We missed you.
I'm sure you guys managed.
We did. Yeah. But how are things in San Francisco?
They were spent most of the time in the airport or in an airplane.
See?
Well, that doesn't sound
You get
fun.
A mocha latte, did you?
No.
Did you get to San Francisco or you just stick to San Jose? Not a whole
no,
lot
we were,
doing
no,
in San
we were
Jose.
No, we in San Jose the whole time. I got in late Saturday evening and... A group had gone to go see the soccer game. at Candlestick, and I went to bed, woke up, went for a run, had a game, came back, went to bed, flew yesterday.
There really isn't anything to do in San Jose, is there?
Not a whole lot going on.
Not much of a downtown area.
The whole deal with San Jose is you want to work in San Jose, live in San Francisco. If you're living in San Jose and working in San Francisco, it's not a good situation. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah,
I guess. Jose was where the dot-com boom took place.
Right.
Valley. Yeah. Then, of course, that fell off.
They got a really nice Olive Garden.
Yeah, and you're right, yeah. But outside of that,
Soup and breadsticks.
Yeah, they have that. Yeah, they do.
Santa Clara.
That'll take care of one night.
Yeah.
Probably one of the nicer college campuses, Santa Clara, which is right there in San Jose.
Steve Nash.
Yeah.
Very, he used to gangster nice. Hoop there.
Yes, he did.
But he's a Canadian.
He is, in fact.
San Jose, your thoughts on Mr. Fuji or Steve Nash, 969-1381-800-491-1380. I believe the worst strip bar I've ever been to was in San Jose. Either there or Greensboro, North Carolina, both on NCAA basketball trips. What's it?
What was wrong with them?
The one in San Jose was like a Legion Hall with a woman who would just kind of dance around where guys were sitting in a circle in a folding chair. I'm not sure if I had actually accidentally walked into what they call a Circle J.
Oh, no.
I didn't Timmy. Say it. I didn't say it.
No, you did. That was you. Doug, was that you?
It wasn't me.
It was Tim then.
And thought it was a strip bar, but in that particular case, I believe it was a strip bar, but it was set up at a Legion Hall.
You were so desperate for entertainment. I stumbled into an American Legion Hall.
Why? You've got to blame
yourself.
I was
with some other St. Louis area sportscasters, I'm proud to say.
Don't
but
blame,
I won't identify them.
Don't blame be San Jose. Blame yourself. I mean, if you go to Molly's Strip Club and or Legion Hall, you're probably getting what you paid for.
The signage didn't say and or, though. Just said Molly's Legion Hall.
They misrepresented then.
Yeah, so that's grounds for suit. You'd have to think.
And Greensboro was no better.
Greensboro was rough. Wow, that was a legitimate one, and that was terrible. Quite terrible, really. Your thoughts on San Jose strip bars are welcome as long as you incorporate Mr. Fuji or Steve Nash in. 969-1380-1800-491.
And also send along birthday wishes to producer Joe.
It's a huge day.
If I would have known.
Every time we say that, he moans.
If I would have known, I would have brought him a present.
We have been talking about it for a while.
Yeah, but we don't remember things more than a couple hours.
Amen to that, Doug. Who are you?
I don't know. I don't remember either. We should wear name tags.
It's not a bad idea. Name tags tomorrow. Name tag
Wednesday. I can still remember people that sat in my classroom in first grade. And can't remember the names of some of the people I work with. What does that tell you?
What does that tell you? I'm sure there's actually a scientific reason for it.
Yeah, well, I've heard that as your brain is kind of like a computer file, and after when you're very young, you got all kinds of memory to learn things in a hurry and hang on to it forever. And then as you get older, there's no more room. There's no more room in the memory.
Oh, is that right?
What was it? 2 weeks ago, you showed things. Up with a grocery list taped to your forehead. Didn't even realize it.
Yeah, I forgot it was up there. Forgotten. They say if you're a kid like 2, 3, 4 years old, you can learn another language just really quick. But try to learn another language at 40. Good luck.
Not going to happen. Cat, how many languages can you speak?
Two.
Really? Spanish? Yeah. Español?
Sí, claro. Claro means, of course, thus proving
sí,
that
claro
I can speak.
Que sí.
Ask me, you want me to drop a little Spanish on you?
Yes,
do it
please.
Right now. ¿Cómo gritas, hijo? Boop. ¿Cómo gritas, hijo? Why do you scream, my son?
Well, that was darn nice.
Thank you. Mis zapatos son azules.
Pepe y yo somos buenos amigos.
Pepe is one of my best friends.
Yeah, we're good friends.
Mis zapatos son azules. Beep. Mis zapatos son azules. Beep.
S-O-C-K-S. Remember that commercial?
No.
It was a way to learn Spanish just by learning different phrases. S-O-C-K-S.
Here's why I didn't really get I took 4 years of Spanish, three of them in high school with a woman called the Senorita. She was an 85-year-old lady who didn't really have a great grasp on what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say to her when I came in, Senorita, I can't be in class today. I have to enter a Fritos contest. I would make up. I had to enter a
Fritos contest.
What anything Fritos? Went. And she went, oh, see, and she'd write you a pass.
Nice. Nice, yeah.
Senorita, I have to go buy potatoes. Oh, see, claro.
Claro.
Of course.
She was open to pretty much any excuse.
She didn't really have a command of English.
Well, what a nice old gal.
And what she would do is she would put the vocabulary words Spanish, England, Spanish, English, Spanish. And what I would do is I would write my own words up there, and she would get to them, and she would be like, zapatos, shoes. Zapatos, shoes. Horta, toast. Ah! I wrote horta, toast up there, and she read it twice before realizing she didn't write that, and she had no idea what it was doing up there. Horta, toast. Horta, ah!
You frightened her in some way?
No, she didn't realize until she actually had read it twice that
that
didn't belong and someone else had written that. Here's another thing she did. She would bring in a big tape recorder to record the class singing Cascabels.
What's Cascabels?
The Spanish version of Jingle Bells.
I don't understand why the first word would be Spanish and the second word English.
Cascabels, Cascabels, un día de nariz.
Well, I like this.
Meantime, Craig Harris would sit real close to the speaker and go, Senorita's a prostitute. So when she would play it back, you couldn't hear it. She would play it back. Senorita's a prostitute.
So it'd be like an Ozzy Osbourne recording with some hidden message.
This might not be funny to the listener, but I'm going on 5 hours.
Producer Joe enjoys it. It's his 30th birthday present.
I had a very, very bad day yesterday.
You had a bad day yesterday.
Yes.
What the hell happened yesterday?
Everything from...
You got to see Scott Rowland, those Redbirds
didn't come
sword.
Out with a pregame show? After
he was,
saying
I saw him on the pre. He did a set. He had a soundbite.
No, but he was supposed to come on live.
Oh.
Live.
He stands you up?
Yeah. And then after the game, I had a ticket on my car, parking, media parking with the media pass there. Got a ticket. Fans were a little drunken in the eighth inning when I went down there and began.
They give you a hard time, did they?
They give you what's what and the who's who?
Not me, but just a bit unruly down there. So I had a bad day. I mean, all in all, it's not like I broke a limb.
Did you and Roland embrace when you saw each other?
Yes.
You did?
He said, I prefer to do this publicly. I will say that Scott was a little preoccupied. I believe he's going on the DL.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they've announced that, but apparently... he just wasn't feeling great, so he wasn't himself. So I believe the reason he didn't appear on the pregame was he probably had some sort of deal going on in terms of his health.
Mm.
Or he just didn't want to do it.
It could be.
You would think if you were going to get treatment, you'd do it sometime other than 6 o'clock before.
I was told he was in a deep discussion in the trainer's room. So could have been just hanging out there so he wouldn't have to do the pregame. But I believe it was probably some sort of discussion as about concussion-like symptoms.
Hmm. Those can be nasty.
Oh, yeah. That's a concern. I will say, when he was doing his media thing, he got a little misty.
Did he really?
You could see in his eyes. I don't think a lot of people picked up on it, but...
He was usually testy. He was usually a little testy.
He was not testy.
I would describe him as testy. In group interview situations, at times he was testy.
I would describe him as Pronger-esque. I would describe him as Pronger-esque. He'd kind of challenge you and be a smart-ass because he clearly didn't enjoy doing it.
Yeah.
And enjoyed the give and take. And enjoyed, you know, giving a little back. I don't think it was testy at all. He's a good guy. He is a good guy. He, apparently, upon walking into the stadium.
I am fascinated by this story, by the way.
Apparently, walking into the stadium, he decided, I'm not really enjoying this little feud thing. So, went into La Russa's office, shook hands, went their separate ways. I believe that meant a lot to the skipper, because I had gotten the sense that the first question about Roland was going to be, you want to talk to Roland, you go to the other dugout. But I happen to know before others that there was this meeting between the two, and Tony was very nice and complimentary of Scott's body of work in St. Louis, and I think he felt very good that the two had some communication and kind of broke the ice a little bit. So the feeling is that all the stuff that went on between Skipper and Scotty behind him now.
Well, that's good. It was Roland that reached out to La Russa.
Yes.
You think La Russa would ever reach out to someone else?
I can't say, but I would say probably not.
Yeah, I would think probably not.
I can't imagine Tony in his Cardinal uniform walking down to the Visitors Clubhouse. No. This was Scott arriving at the ballpark, and I think having a moment where he realized, this is dumb. He didn't tell me that in so many words, but he did tell me he went into the skipper's office.
I thought that was a fascinating detail from yesterday. I really did.
Yep.
That he didn't plan on doing it, but when he got there, he decided that's what he wanted to start his day off at his old ballpark with. I thought that was pretty cool.
He thought he has his point of view as to what went on. Obviously, Tony has his, but I think Roland realized that the whole thing was stupid in hindsight, and he just wanted to move past it.
Is it, and you may know more than you're free to say, and I completely respect that, but is it as simple as him getting benched in Game 2 of the NLCS?
No.
A lot more has to do with the way the organization handled the injury. The Aesop Choi collision and after effects.
Yeah, there's things about handling, communication. There's a few issues, I think, that Roland had, but I don't want to speak for him.
All right.
But, yeah, it was more than just that. And I think it built and built, and, this divide grew between the two. And I think, Roland's back in the National League. I think he's had enough, of the bad feelings, so.
I'm sure he was disappointed that he couldn't play last night and get an ovation from a sellout crowd, a welcome back.
He was really, he said it didn't get any better than this, discussing his time in St. Louis. And there were, he wasn't on the verge of crying, but I sensed that he was welling up a little bit thinking about it. And then, coming back, and I'm sure that adding to the emotion is the uncertainty. As you say, Doug, that concussion stuff is scary because you just don't know. And that's still lingering over his head about, what's going to be with him. So I think there's a lot of stuff going on with Roland. But I thought it was great. He's walking down the little hallway there, and he could go straight and make a left and just head on over to the visitors. But he decided to swing by and see Tony and kind of make amends. So good for him, good for Tony.
Yeah, that was nice. That was nice.
I really thought it was cool. I thought it was highlight of the pregame, without question, was him doing that.
It's too bad that there's been a trickle of players that leave here with a bad taste in their mouth. Players that have been so good and provided so many fond memories and big-time moments for the franchise, that there's always been that trickle that are very upset
when
they leave.
Well, when things end, they don't always end well.
And can I have a moment?
Yeah. Are you going to talk about you and Billy Simpkins?
No, I'm going to do that in the 8 o'clock hour after the WWE recap. If things didn't... Damn it, I screwed it up. I'm trying to quote the movie Cocktail.
I pilfered that.
You were going to pilfer that?
Yeah, it basically...
If things could end well, they wouldn't end in the first place. It's from the movie Cocktail, 1986. I believe it won Best Picture.
It was one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Well, either way.
But there's also business involved and egos, and so people get ticked off. When Matheny left, he wasn't all that happy with the way things ended, and he slowly...
Matheny, Eckstein, Edmonds, Rowan.
Right. And Ozzie, but Matheny is slowly, coming back into the fold with the Cardinal organization and letting that go. Eckstein, he's still fired up. Woo.
Cats and dogs.
Woo.
Players come and go from every organization, but there's something to be said for making it go a little smoother on the way out. Just a pat on the back. Thanks a lot. We sure appreciate it. You did a great job here. Just sometimes one conversation from a general manager manager would help things end a lot smoother than they do.
That's the least of it. But then you get both sides of the story. Okay, and whatever the player is, okay, the player wants 3 years. We offered him one or two, and he was insulted by that, and that ended things on a bad note. That's almost unavoidable at times.
Yeah.
But I agree, if it's as simple as a phone call saying, we're sorry it didn't work out. Obviously we have differing opinions on where this is going to go, but we wish you the best of luck and thanks for everything. Sometimes a call like that could put at least a little nice spin on it.
Mm-hmm.
You're right, Dougie.
Yeah.
Scott Rowland returns and Scott Rowland talks. Scott Rowland will join this radio program at what time?
I believe it... 10:45.
We'll be gone by then, won't we?
Yeah, right. It didn't work out.
He's going to talk it over to David Klein.
He's not angry about it. We're not angry. It just didn't work out. It's one of those things. Hopefully at some point I'll call him and say it's okay and end it on a positive.
I just wish he could have played this week.
I have no doubt in my mind that the ovation, because I've heard people discussing, well, what kind of reception? He would have gotten a great reception. What did he do?
Why not? Why wouldn't he?
I don't even know why that's even a question.
What did he do except play hurt and give us almost an MVP season 1 year and provide the best defensive third base you've ever seen? Other than that, not much.
Well said, Doug.
Yeah. He was a heck of a player.
Sure was. And, you know, he wanted to come back to the Midwest, so he's in Cincinnati. I'm sure the folks that are fans of the Reds are very disappointed that he's not 100%.
Yeah, I think the season's over for the Reds. Man, they're just playing out the string
now. That beaning he took, I mean, that was
right in the
cabeza.
Has he had that before? Has he had any concussions before?
I don't think so. But you get hit in the head with a pitch like that. Did you see that? That's some scary video, man.
Yeah,
Marquis, right when after he threw it, he fell to the ground and slammed his glove down like Pedro Guerrero in Game 6 of the 85 NLCS.
And to think before the 50s, they didn't wear batting helmets at all. What would that have done to a hitter in 1948 to get hit like that?
Killed him.
Brooklyn Dodgers were the first team to wear helmets in like 50.
They were pioneers all sorts.
Yeah. Geez, you wonder how the guys ever came back. Maybe they didn't. One guy got killed. Ray Chapman got killed by a pitch.
Who's the most horrific? Tony Conigliaro took one in the eye, right?
Eyeball. Yeah. Paul Blair took one in the face.
Paul Blair was a great player, came back from that, and was never really the same player.
No, he was not.
He was always a good defensive player, and he remained a good defensive player, center fielder, but was never much offensively because...
After that, he wasn't.
We put his foot in the bucket?
Yeah.
Is that it, Doug? Is that the phrase?
Yeah, he stepped in the bucket.
He stepped in the bucket, Tim. You ever heard that phrase?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Stepped in the bucket. Remember, Matheny got hit in the face as a Milwaukee Brewer, got hit right in the jaw, just set the bat down and walked back to the dugout, said, I'm done. Didn't fall down, didn't hold it, didn't rub it. Just go, oh, man, that hurt. Set the bat down and walk to the dugout.
Matheny's a tough guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Everybody loves Matheny, too. When he's around, whew.
Be a great manager someday if he wants to do that. I think he'd get a shot.
I always kid Ricky Horton and Cal Eldred. They're like, they have like huge man crushes on Matheny. Oh, Mike's going to be at the ballpark today. Ooh, ooh. Come on, simmer down.
That's what they do?
Yeah, simmer down.
They do a little dance?
Ooh, Matheny's here. Ooh.
Why high-pitched?
I don't know. Yeah. It's weird.
Well, we probably ought to look into that.
It's just
doesn't seem right.
Because you're like, you know, look at me. Well, you know, I played the oboe. That was what I did, you know, throughout. No athletic.
Sure.
No athletic talent in my family.
Great American, though.
Great American. My thing was the oboe.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm doing sports, so I'm at the ballpark, and on the broadcast team are, you know, guys like Roboski, Cal Eldred, Rick Horton, former major leaguers
that just assume
punch you in the eye and look at you, right? So you're standing around, and I'm just trying to be part of it. Yeah, big show today, yeah. And, you know, everyone's kind of punching each other and shoving each other because it's a manly group, yeah.
Of
and all of a sudden said someone goes, hey, I think Matheny's going to be here. All of a sudden they're like, ooh, Mike's here, ooh.
Oh, like everybody's cutting hair?
I don't know, man. It's weird. I'm only saying this because I know Eldred isn't up to hear it. Because that guy scares me.
Why?
Because he's huge and he's tough.
He's tough?
He is tough.
But he's a nice enough guy.
The nicest guy ever. But don't mock him.
Don't cross him. Why would you mock him?
I have a bit of a problem not being a wise ass.
You have a personality issue.
Yes. For example... We were talking nicknames, and he said, do you know what my nickname was? And I said, Hayseed? He said, don't ever say that to me again. No, sir, I won't. Immediately, I said, no, sir, I won't. And then the other day on the pregame, we were showing the flashback of the fight in Pittsburgh.
Gerald
Perry and Dave Duncan. And, you know, Cal's on set upstairs, so I know I have separation. You know, and as nice a guy, I know he'll eventually calm down. But you can see in the video, there's a whole fracas going on there. And 6 foot five Cal Eldred in the periphery going, so I said immediately after the video, I'm 6 foot five, hold me back, hold me back. Notice where Cal is on the periphery. Hold me back, Mr. 6 foot five. So he said to me on the air, be thankful we're on the same team, big boy.
You think he would scrap with you?
I think Cal Eldred would wipe the floor with me in a matter of 20 seconds if he weren't such a nice guy.
He's a gentleman.
But I'm saying, these are tough guys. Al Hrabowski, if he had a baseball, he'd plant it in your forehead.
Yes,
he didn't back off the plate.
Wouldn't even think twice about it, probably.
What nickname did you give him? He already had one.
I call him Stan.
Stan. Oh, Stan from Amazon. Yeah.
What was your nickname in high school?
Didn't have one.
Never had a nickname?
Yeah, Purple.
The Cat, I guess.
Purple. The Cat. They call me the
Cat. The Cat, yeah, that's
where that came from. Fellow over there gave me the nickname the Cat.
Producer Joe, on his 30th birthday, gets credit for calling Jimmy the Cat Hayes the Cat.
What was your nickname, Tim?
Butt-ass.
Butt-ass.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not too complimentary.
They call him the Bank. Every day they take lunch money from him.
Bank.
That's come here, true. Bank. I want to buy some Yankee Doodles, Bank.
What are Yankee Doodles?
You don't know what Yankee Doodles are?
Yeah,
you know what Yankee
Doodles
are. No.
Joey? I don't know how.
Maybe it's an East Coast thing.
It must be. It's a it's a delicious Drake's cake. Three in a pack. And they are cream-filled chocolate cupcakes. Not as good as a cupcakery, but as good as you can buy from a store.
Is that right?
Yankee Doodles.
Mm-hmm.
Take your Yankee Doodle calls, your Mr. Fuji calls, and your Steve Nash at Santa Clara calls. 969-1380-1-800-491-1380. The morning after at team1380.net. Ticket guys email today. Two passes to see ESPN's X Games 3D, the movie, on Tuesday, August 18th at Ronnie's 20 Talkies, also known as Cine. And two passes to Six Flags. Super
nice.
Strong. Super strong.
What's the value on those things?
When Anna Marie and I went out there 2 weeks ago, I spent, I think, like $77 to get into that park.
So I'm going to say a value of $77.
Safe to say.
Yeah.
That's not a bad price.
Right.
Six Flags St. Louis offers a heart-pounding lineup of roller coasters. The Boss, the Screaming Eagle, the Ninja, the Black Belt of roller coasters, Mr. Freeze, and of course, the Batman ride. Everyone pays kids' prices, $31 plus tax at Schnucks locations, and two VIP passes to the InsideSTL.com Summerfest this Saturday.
Summerfest!
Summerfest. Producer Joe's playing on a sand volleyball team.
Is he?
Super. What's the name of that team? The Interior Designers?
Producer Joe, what's the name of your team?
I have no idea. You'd have to ask the governor.
The governor put the team together.
Let's go, girls! Bump, set, spike! Bump, set, spike!
728 in St. Louis, email the program the morning after Team 1380. Producer Joe's 30th birthday. Send in your birthday wishes, if you please. It's the ITD morning after on Team 1380.